He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, my name is Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power, and author of my newest book, God's Promise for Your Success, His Promised Grace. I'm so glad that you could join with us on today's program. As we go through this series, His Promised Grace, I know that you will discover that God's grace has allowed you to live the abundant life here on this earth as you walk in Jesus Christ. As you listen to the series, you will understand that the abundant life is more than finances, it's more than cars, it's more than houses, it's much more than any of that. It is eternal salvation in Jesus Christ that allows us to walk in His abundance with joy in our heart, knowing that God is in control of these troubled times. Now let's listen to the message, His Promised Grace.
Father, we come to You today listening to Your Word, listening to Your comfort, listening to Your instruction, taking into our heart the obedience of Christ that we are to proclaim for You. I pray in the name of Jesus that as I speak Your words, that our hearts will be meditated upon You, that we will take them to task and know that they are speaking to each one of us and not the neighbor to the left or to the right of us. And I give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking about your vision, the vision that God has for you. And I submit to you that all of the vision that we are speaking about is the vision of God Himself. What has God given you to do for Him? God has instructed you to seek Him and ask Him, Lord, what would You have me to do? What is my job for You? Where am I failing You? What would You have me to do for You this week, Lord? Now I need to ask you a question. Have you asked Him? Have you heard any of the words that I have spoken to you? Have you asked Him? Have you earnestly sought the things that God would have you to do? He has a ministry for you. His ministry is not coming on Sunday morning to hear me speak to you. Believe it or not. It's not it. It's a part of the ministry He has for you. Because He tells us in Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and all the more as you see the day approaching, go to church. It could be all paraphrased down into that one little verse. Go to church. Why? Because we need to encourage one another. Because these are hard days that we are seeing coming. Because the days are going to get tougher as we continue to walk the walk in Jesus Christ. Because the days are tougher already for Christians than they were 30 years ago. It is already illegal for us to go and pray in schools. Now, can it be removed from schools? No, it cannot. As long as you are training your children in the way they should grow, prayer will never be removed from schools. It cannot happen. It's impossible. But however, if I wanted to walk over to the school and have a prayer, it's illegal. Can't do that. We've seen many of the religious freedoms that we have had in our lifetime being pulled away, jerked away. Have you inquired this week about what God would have you to do. And if you have inquired of Him of what to do, are you beginning to do it? Because that's going to be a very vital aspect of listening to God. We must put one foot in front of the other. If you're going to walk, you cannot walk without moving your feet. It's not going to work. Put one foot in front of the other. Step out. Take that first step of faith. My sister-in-law, as we were visiting with her, was telling me that a friend of hers, he had been out of work. He didn't know what he was supposed to do. He'd been out of work for a long time. He went to talk to his pastor. And the pastor says, well, what are you doing about it? And he said, well, I'm waiting on God. And he said, yeah, but what is God telling you to do? Well, I'm just waiting on God. Finally, the pastor made him understand that God still expects us to get up out of our chair and start that direction. So he decided, well, I don't know what else I'm going to do, so I'm going to start this little business. I don't remember what it was. I think it was landscaping or some sort of little business. Don't remember. Doesn't matter. Because he was highly qualified in the job that he was doing, highly paid in the job that he was doing when he had lost his salary, somewhere around $100,000. But he was going to start this business because, well, I'm just going to do something. Before he could ever get the business started, God answered the prayer and gave him the job that he was looking for. Is that coincidence? I don't think so. I think God wants us to do something. He wants us. It's hard. You must admit, it is hard. Look around the pews right now. Just look right next to the left and the right of you. It is hard to get up on Sunday mornings and come to church. It's a hard thing. It's so easy to lay in that nice bed. If you want to lay in a nice warm bed with the covers up, you just turn your air conditioner real low and you just lay in that like that. It reminds you of the winter. Don't even want to get out of bed. It's easy. But that's only a very small step that He is calling you to do. Put one foot in front of the other. Are you making excuses for not seeking a vision for God? Maybe you have not even sought what God wants you to do. Or if you have sought it, maybe He has told you what to do. But now, God, I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I don't have the other. I can't do this. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6 is where we will be looking at today. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, all who is over all and through all and in all. If anyone had an excuse to no longer work for God, it was Paul. He was shackled in chains as a prisoner for the Lord. That is not a euphemism. That is where he is sitting in prison with shackles on his feet and on his hands. But yet, even though I am a prisoner, I am still going to proclaim the gospel of Christ. It would seem that he's got a pretty limited audience to be able to proclaim anything. Paul recognized that even though he was a prisoner, he was a prisoner for Jesus Christ. Whatever your situation, you are in that situation for Jesus Christ, if you know Him as your Lord and Savior. Paul could have complained, told him he was limited to the things he could do. I'm chained. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm not trained for that. I have too much training for that. No matter what the excuse that you try to lay on God, he's not hearing any of it. Philippians 1:13 says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to the advance of the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else, I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." Paul was in shackles. He was in chains. And he was even chained to the guards. And that became a problem for Rome. Because they would chain somebody to Paul and they'd get saved. And they had to remove those shackles from that guy, shackle another guy to him. And every time they'd shackle a new guy to him, he'd get them saved. He'd tell them about Jesus Christ. And the next thing, it says to the whole palace guard, he is influenced because he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. God wants us to prepare for the work that he has for us. I can't tell you the work that he has for you. I found out a long time ago when somebody comes up to me and says, "God said to me he wants you to do this." Watch out for that one. So I'm not going to walk up to you and tell you God said for you to do that. I might walk up to you and ask you if you would consider seeking God about something that we need done here at the church. Ephesians 4:7, verse 7 through 13. "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. He has given us the grace to be able to live our life." That future grace that we were talking about that's already happened. He's already got your life all planned out. He knows what's going to happen. Because he can see your life next year and you cannot. "This is why it says when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men." What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service. To prepare God's people for works of service. To prepare God's people for works. I know we hate that word. Work is a four-letter word, you know. But yet we are to prepare for God's work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So why are we doing these works? So that we can become mature in Christ. And we can help others to become mature in Christ. God wants us to prepare for the work. He's commanded it to us that we might prepare for the work. We have been prepared to do the work of the gospel. You may not realize it. But as soon as you prayed, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and change me into that person that you want me to be," as soon as you prayed that prayer, you know what God did? He came into your heart and he began to change you. He began to prepare you for the work that he wants to do for you. He's already done that. He's got you ready. Now what he is waiting for is for you to say, "Okay, God, what is that work?" He's been just waiting for that. He will not, how many know that God will not enforce himself on you? That is not the Christian faith. God, our God of grace and of mercy, does not force himself on you. He only wants the best for you. And he knows that those crowns of glory that he is getting ready, wanting to present with you in heaven, is the best for you. He knows those jewels that we are going to receive for what we do for him is the best for you. He knows that the maturity that you are going to gain through Christ and as you spread the gospel is the best for you. And He knows that. And that is why He wants you to begin to do His work. He has prepared you to disciple others for Christ. That's what He's prepared you for. Now, will it take a little bit of study? Yes, it will. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled and sound in faith and in love and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of the speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them and not to steal from them, but to show that they can fully be trusted so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that is very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things that you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with authority. Do not let anyone despise you. Did anyone hear anything common in that passage? We are to teach. Matthew 28:18-20, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you till the very end of the age. We are to teach. Even in our immaturity, we can teach someone about Christ. If you just came to know Jesus Christ today, you can tell someone about the goodness of the salvation of Christ. If you are mature in Christ and have been in the church for 50 years, then you can explain in much better depth. Are you mature in Christ? You that have been in this congregation for 15, 25, 35 years, 50 years possibly, are you mature in Christ? Ephesians 4:14-16 says, then we will be no longer infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I used to lift weights. I don't want to hear any snickering. But I did find if I exercise this arm too much, guess what happened? This arm became big. But what about this one? It was still the same size it always was. There was a guy that used to come into the gym, and he had a chest out to here. And he had arms like this, and he had no back. None. It was just, you know, it looked like It was just strange. It looked like one of those stick figures with a, you know, with a big old chest on it. There was another guy who came in to the gym one time, and he was enormous. He had on sweats. He was massive. His shoulders were massive. His arms were massive. His back. He went in and got into his shorts, and he had legs about that big. I mean, that's exactly, I mean, it was, and he came out, and of course, we were all pretty new, and we were kind of looking. He says, I know, I'm working on my legs. But see, you can't let it get out of balance. What God wants you to do is He wants you to take care of your part of the work. Because somebody else has a different ministry than you do. And if only that ministry is getting done, then the church is going to be lopsided. We're going to have legs that are that big around, or we're going to have no back that's totally flat. We're going to have one arm that's bigger than the other. And it's the whole church is not going to be able to unify. If you have a big weight that needs to be lifted, think about it. If both arms are as strong as the other one, you can lift a whole lot more weight. If we follow what God has taught us to do in His Word, we will be mature. Men, who have you taken under your wing to help to grow in maturity? Who have you begun to disciple? Older women, as we just read, who have you talked to about making them better for Christ? Not just go out and have a cup of coffee and talk about the weather, the kind of shoes I've got, you know, purse maybe. No, talk about the meat of the things that we need to be taught to our young ones. What's your conversation like when you're around Christians? What's your conversation like when you're not around Christians? Does anyone know that you're a Christian? Or would they be shocked to hear that you were elected as a deacon at the church? Or that you are a Sunday school teacher? Do you talk as one who is led by the Spirit? Or do you just talk? God wants to use you. He wants you to seek Him. And He wants to tell you how He wants to use you. It's very simple. As I look through this congregation this morning, the eyes, the faces that I see have come and at least acknowledge Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Do you feel the passion inside of you at all? Or is it just all kind of blasé anymore? You know, I'm just kind of waiting until I'm just riding this out. You know, we're going to die someday and I'm just riding this out. Are you going to speak to your neighbor about Christ? Or are you going to allow someone else to do it? God wants to use you. It's a simple thing. He's calling us to grow this church. He's given us a vision for His kingdom. It's a simple vision. We've talked about it the last several weeks, and we can show the slides again, and we can talk about facilities that we're going to be thinking about if we need them and all of this other stuff. This is simple. It's much, much deeper than that. That vision is that we spread His gospel. That we talk to those about Jesus. Make sure that you smile at the attendant that is waiting on you at the grocery store. Don't be cussing somebody out. Because when the opportunity presents itself to witness to that person that's at the grocery store, they're not going to be listening to you. Don't shake your fist at the person that cut you off. Or worse. Remember to live for Christ. Remember the vision that He has given to you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And second, and like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Just remember that. Continue to pray every single day, Lord, what would you have me to do for you today? Help me to take the step. Help me to take that first step. And then help me to take that second step as He guides me through those steps. It's a simple prayer. There's not one of you that is too young or too old. You're still above the ground. The only time you're too old is the time when I am standing over that box and talking about how great the life was. That's all. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for using us. Thank you for sending your Son on the cross that we might have eternal salvation. Forgive me, Lord, for taking you for granted. Help me to walk through the door as it presents itself of someone who wants to know about Jesus Christ. And better still, Father, help me to seek the doors to open that I might be able to walk through. Proclaim your gospel. I pray that you will not allow me to keep it to myself, but you will make me the kind of Christian that you would have me to be, which is the one who goes and makes disciples and teaches. And I give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining with us on our broadcast of His Gospel Power. I'm excited that you join with us and listen to us daily about the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a listener-supported program, and I'm asking that you might prayerfully consider joining with us to spread the gospel around the world. You can do that in many ways. You can either go to Amazon.com and buy any one of my books. My latest one is God's Promise for Your Success, His Promised Grace. All the proceeds of those books go to this program of His Gospel Power. Also, you could go to hisgospelpower.org, hisgospelpower.org, and there is a donate section on that website. That is our website here for His Gospel Power. And just go and click on the donate button. If you would prefer to mail your gift, you can just send it to P.O. Box 1569. That's P.O. Box 1569, Rockdale, Texas, 76567. And all contributions that we receive are greatly appreciated. You would truly be a blessing to this ministry. I'm excited once again that you have joined with us. And until next time, I pray that you experience His gospel power today.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed.